97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Big news today. I mean, this really goes beyond just music. Ozzy Osbourne, a cultural phenomenon, maybe that's a good way to put it, pop culture icon, rock legend, passing away at the age of 76 this morning. And joining us now to discuss of KC fame, Randy Rayleigh. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. I always hate to say my pleasure when we're talking about somebody as iconic as Ozzy passing, but it is good to talk with you today. Thank you.
Okay, so let's throw out a couple of things that people generally know about Ozzy. You have Black Sabbath. You have his solo work. You have his reality show. You have him biting a head off of a bat. So let's say four things. What in what order do you think people most know him for?
Oh, his career, his solo career for sure. He was one of those guys who reinvented himself and surrounded him with great musicians. And so he again left a very, very popular band. And then I think he found even greater heights with his solo stuff. And then there's Black Sabbath, probably the very first heavy metal band. And I think the very first Black Sabbath record that I owned was the first one, and it scared my mom. I mean, and so when you got an album that scares your parents, it endears it to you even more. And so they made music that was scary. It was loud, and it was in your face. And, you know, and I think that's the thing that establishes Black Sabbath. I mean, Black Sabbath got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by themselves. Ozzy got in by himself, so he's in there twice. And so it's, one of those things that we kind of have grown up with Ozzy. His first solo release was in 1981, and that one featured Crazy Train. And again, I was doing radio in Kansas City at the time that his first solo album came out. We weren't quite sure what to make of it because it's like, we hadn't heard anything like this before. And of course, the rest is history. It went on to sell a gazillion copies, and that established him for the rest of his career. And I can tell you, I had the opportunity to talk to Ozzy twice, and he's just a very lovely, sweet man. I will use that word when talking to him. He was just very sweet and kind of very humble. He was almost huggable, if you know what I mean. But he was just a lovely man, and I'm saddened by this. I mean, we're in a state now where all of our rock heroes are going to start falling like dominoes, and when somebody as a cultural icon, as you call him, like Ozzy dies, I mean, these people that we've listened to for a long time, 1981, that's a long time, they become kind of our friends. And kind of people that we count on when we go to when things are kind of down. What do you go? You go play your favorite music. Who's your favorite music by? It could be by Ozzy. So, vicariously, they have a way to kind of worm their way into our psyche. And when somebody like Ozzy dies, it's kind of not in the same vein, but it's kind of like a cousin or somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
You've been a part of. They've been a part of your life for so long.
Okay. Did you meet Ozzy in person ever during his appearances?
Yes, I met him twice. I met him once in Kansas City.
In person, both for it. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I met him once in St. Louis, and it was after I had played a very, probably not very well thought out April Fool's prank on the radio, and I had to apologize for it the next day, and it happened to be the day that Ozzy was in the studio, and I turned off the microphone, and he looked at me, and he goes, "So what'd you do, man? What'd you do?" And yeah. So we talked about it, and he was great, and he thought it was funny, but he was always very willing to play along. And when it came to something that you wanted to do on the air, or if you wanted to do liners, station ID, or all of that, he was always willing to play along. And I always just found him to be, like I said, a very sweet man and a very nice guy.
Well, I mean, St. Louis will they'll have that connection, him wearing the Blues jersey in that mugshot. So they'll always have that connection with Ozzy Osbourne. Okay, so you meet Ozzy Osbourne. You've seen him in studio. What did you get in trouble for? What did you have to apologize for? Because I'm like Ozzy. Oh, I want to know.
Well, I the day before, I did an April Fool's Day prank. This was 1986, and I had just you know, it was stupid, but, you know, I got in real big trouble for it. And so he came into studio on April 2nd. And so while I'm apologizing on the air for what I did the day before on April 1st, Ozzy's like, so what did you do that got you in all of this trouble? And I told him, and he just thought it was funny. You know,
you tell me, what did you do?
Okay, well, it's 1986, and so we're in this kind of shoving match with Libya. Okay, they had shot down one of our planes, and we were mad at them. And I had said on the air over at the other station, it was April Fool's, and Libyan jets based in Cuba had bombed the entire eastern coastline of the United States. They were working their way in, and the final solution was is they bombed the water tower in Arnold. And so apparently somebody took offense to that and thought it was real. And I got hauled into the program director's office early the next morning, and everybody was mad. And who do you think you are? And I thought it was funny, and everybody else thought it was funny, but the management didn't think it was funny. Ozzy thought it was funny. He thought it was hilarious. So, yeah. And you just, you know, stuff like that. You just, you know, he was just, like I said, very down to earth. And his wife, even back then, was, you know, pretty much had control of his career. And you got to love the TV show he did. You know, I mean, that was just so much fun. And you got an idea how much fun he could be on that TV show. But, you know, I'm sad, you know. But like I said, you know, these guys are going to start falling like dominoes. We've reached that point in our life. But, you know, the guy who abused his body so badly lives to be 76. There's hope for us all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you know you've made it when people, I mean, a lot of people can do an impersonation of you. And so many people can do Ozzy Osbourne impersonation. In some ways, he's known for it. So you get to meet him in person. You get to see him behind the scenes, what it's like. So when you were interviewing him, did you have to listen extra closely, trying to really catch every word coming out of his mouth?
He was hard to understand. No, seriously, he was hard to understand. And the joke in the radio business and the rock radio business was, how many questions did you get into an Ozzy Osbourne interview before you understood one thing he said? And I think the over-under was like two or three. But, yeah, you'd ask him a question, and he'd be like, well, you know, man, so it was difficult at times listening to what he had to say. But, again, it was all in the spirit of things. You knew that going into the interview as a radio guy. You knew that this was just, hey, man, I'm really talking to Ozzy Osbourne kind of thing more than anything else, you know?
Isn't that something? Joining us here of KSHE fame, Randy Raleigh, and I love old radio station stories. It's so foreign to think someone like an Ozzy Osbourne would walk in and the fame that they have in the world into your little radio station. That stuff doesn't happen anymore. These big time musicians, they don't just go to radio stations like they used to.
Well, I'll tell you the quick story of what happened in Kansas City. I was working at a radio station that had an AM FM television. And so coming in and out of the back door at night, they had all of these fans and cameras and reporters and everything. And back then in 1981, you know, you really didn't think about much security. So I was doing the night show in Kansas City, and Ozzy was scheduled to come by. I think it was about 7:20 at night or so. But about 6:30, I announced that Ozzy was coming by, and I didn't think anything of it. The radio station was down a really long hall. So I get up and go out of the studio and walk down the hall, and the place is packed with kids. And I mean, they all are lined up all the way down the hall, all the way down the stairs. And the TV people are freaking out because it's like, what are all of these kids doing in our work? And they were all lined up. And actually, I got the cops called on me by the general manager of the TV station. And the cops and Ozzy showed up at the exact same time. And it was like, the cops are like, oh, what do you want us to do, arrest these kids? And it ended up that Ozzy stuck around and signed everything, took every picture, even posed with the cops. And it was, you know, and that's just the kind of the guy who he was. He was big into his fans. He loved his fans. And, you know, and reciprocally, his fans loved him. And you knew that he loved his fans because it was all about, you know, doing music, for the people that listen to him. And, you know, going all the way back, man, he got into our consciousness in 1970. That's a long time ago. And for him to be a part of rock music for that long, you know, when you come upon a death like this, yeah, it hurts, man. It's another chink in our armor. It's another chink in our armor and another thread to our past that's cut away. So, but, you know, the thing about it is his music lives on, and his fans will continue to listen to his music. And hey, man, isn't that something that, you know, he can be proud of, is that his music will be listened for generations.
And he got to say goodbye. I mean, he just did that concert like a week and some ago. You actually get to say goodbye to your fans. It's a rarity anymore. One other thing, you know, I brought this up earlier, but the idea that he had that connection with St. Louis, because in that mugshot, he's wearing the St. Louis Blues jersey. Is there any chance Casey gave him that jersey? Like, is there any way possible that you're associated with that?
No, I don't think so. I think that was Ozzy just picking up the shirt going, well, you know, this looks pretty cool, you know, and that's probably all that was that Ozzy thinking it was cool. So, no, and I think, you know, St. Louis was behind Ozzy. So was Kansas City. He was, you know, big in the Midwest because, you know, we like our rock and roll here. And again, you know, to start out in 1970 and then, you know, to play your last concert 2 weeks before you die. Now, isn't that the way to go? And I mean, you talk about going out on top to leave behind a legacy like that and a performance like that. You know, it's just kind of serendipity or kismet or something like that. But I just think it's cool that everybody got to take one last bow, that they all got to take one last bow from the stage, and Ozzy got to see the love for him. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he's gone.
Yep. All right. Well, I got to say, it's kind of fun reminiscing. And we know there's a lot of great talent that has great memories when they make it to St. Louis, except for Guns N' Roses. Other than that, I think for the most part, most rock bands enjoyed St. Louis. Randy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you at that show?
No, you're right. I think so.
By any chance, were you at that show when Guns N' Roses shut things down?
No, but I can see that when Axl Rose had to make a public apology, and so he made it on my show, and it went like this. He went, "I'm sorry." Click.
He's on the line. He's on the line for 3 seconds.
And so it was. Yeah, he fulfilled his obligation, but it wasn't very contrite, if you know what I mean.
So basically what you're saying is when there's an apology, they listen to your show, either from you or Axl Rose or someone else.
Or somebody, yeah. Hey, go figure. But no, that was a part of his deal, that he had to make a public apology, and they chose my afternoon show at the other station. I said, "Axl, what do you got to say?" And he goes, "I'm sorry." Click.
Right. All right, Randy Raley, thank you so much for sharing some of your memories of Ozzy Osbourne. And I know a lot of people are going to be talking about it. It's kind of a, you know, a sad thing, a long time coming. I think a lot of people always joked about him and like Keith Richards. How in the world are they still around? But you're right. All of these different people that have been here, you know, playing music since the 60s, they're not going to be here forever because it's 2025. Nope. And even if they're in their 20s, we're talking they're in their 80s now. So
there's no question. So Ozzy started 55 years ago. He's been a part of our life for 55 years. So this is that. It's going to hurt. Yeah.
Yep. Randy Raley, thank you so much for joining us here. We really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Thanks very much. Y'all have a good day.